You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Ellen O'Neill on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Sita is off being a grandmama today, having fun with her baby James. If you've been on the show quite a bit, you know all about baby James and his birth and how wonderful, wonderfully happy the Sita Begee family is with him. So happy Labor Day to everyone. Happy Labor Day.
Woo-hoo.
In the studio with us today, we have Allie Tambor, who is our...
Good afternoon.
Yes, our resident guest.
Our resident guest. I
yes,
like that.
Exactly. And we have on the show today, we've got Penny Fletcher, who will be calling in. She is a print journalist and editor for more than 38 years. She's got 3 books out and has a very extensive career. Wonderful, wonderful woman to talk to. I can't wait till she calls in. And then we also have the winner of our... primary right here running for Congress, Joanne Terry.
Hello, thank you very much for having me today.
It's so exciting to have and congratulations on winning.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and we're gonna get to speaking to Joanne here very shortly. But I wanted to we had a guest on not too long ago, Anthony Yantz, who seems to be posting quite a few things out on social media, and one of the great quotes that he posted today was all about Labor Day, and. And I see people already on Facebook and social media saying things like Happy Labor Day. And I said, well, I wonder if anybody knows what really, because I wasn't sure exactly how Labor Day started. I thought that would be a great way to start the show while we wait for Miss Penny Fletcher to call in. So Labor Day pays tribute to the contributions and achievements of American workers. And it's traditionally observed on the first Monday of September, which is today, by the way, again. So happy Labor Day. It's not all about hot dogs and hamburgers.
Oh, yeah.
It was a movement in the late 19th century and became a federal holiday in 1894. So it really is all about the workers that are out there. I'm sure, you know, once again, just like every other law and every other holiday that we've had, it's had an evolution of things. It probably meant something a little bit more back then, but today it's hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah.
And hanging out with our friends and having a 3-day weekend. So it's exciting. I'm in a band, as many of you know. So we had a very full weekend. And of course, we had our scrubbed Artemis launches. We had 2 scrubbed Artemis launches this weekend. But it did bring 400,000 people to the Space Coast, which is very exciting. Not so exciting for traffic. Right, Danny? but certainly very good for all of our economy and for all of the small businesses that got to benefit in that. I did not participate in going up to the Cape. However, last night at one of our shows, one that we were playing last night as a band, the SpaceX rocket went up. And it was probably one of the prettiest rockets I've seen in a while.
Right,
and
after
I've
sunset,
seen all
right?
of them. Wasn't well, it, no, it was at 10:15 last night.
Oh, last
so the
night,
clouds
yeah.
were a little low, yeah. and it was just beautiful the way that it went up. And through the whole launch, I sang Rocket Man. Loud as I could. So that video is out on social media, I'm sure, quite a few times. And then right after that, I sang the Star Spangled Banner.
Wow.
So just to kind of icing on the cake for today, right? So, but anyway, we're going to wait for Penny Fletcher to call in, but we will, you know, kind of roll with the show a little bit. Since Joanne, since you're here now, let's just get into saying hello to you and welcoming you back to the show here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. By the way, for those of you who are listening, we're on 1510 WWBC. We're also on FM 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7 on your FM dial. That's all over Brevard County. Depending on where you are, you'll pick up a signal a little bit better in one than another. But again, with us, we have Joanne Terry, who's running for Congress.
Yes, I am. And thank you very much for having me. And yes, it's very exciting. The primary was just about 2 weeks ago now. And I was successful. And I want to definitely congratulate Danelle Dodge, my primary opponent, also on a very competitive race. She entered this race back in February and really made a good progress in getting us the kind of media attention that we've really been lacking the last several election cycles. And so, you know, from that perspective, it was really good to have a primary because we did get a lot of attention. And since the primary, I've been getting an outpouring of support, even quite a few swing voters coming and saying, you know, you look like a Democrat that we might be able to support. And so it's been very exciting and it was very, very good. And so I'm really excited for the next 9 weeks from tomorrow.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Another little stressful 9 weeks.
Who's counting, right?
But exactly. Who's counting? Yeah, there's no time for a break, that's for sure.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. And we're going to hear more from Joanne Terry right after the break. We do this show in two segments. And we just got Miss Penny Fletcher on the phone, I believe. Hello, Miss Penny.
Well, hi there. I'm here.
Well, hi there. It's so good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear from you again. I was glad you called.
I am too. Sita is off with her grandson today. So my name is Ellen. I am her co-host for the last 12 years. It's hard to believe we've been on the air that long. And also,
I believe you were here with her last year when I spoke to her about a book.
Absolutely. Last 12 years, we've been partners in crime, that's for sure. and also in studio, we have our resident guest with us, Allie Tambor.
Hello.
And
hi.
And also our guest for our second segment today is Joanne Terry, who is running for Congress here in the state of Florida.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
I know, and I vote.
There you go.
That's what we want to hear. Woohoo.
Hey, and you're a gam, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, I can vote. Yes, I can vote.
There you go. And where are you calling us from, Penny?
I'm calling you from Ruskin, Florida.
Oh, that's a beautiful area. I worked for Home Depot
years ago, since 79. Lived here till my husband died in 2003. Moved out to Riverview, and it just got too busy for me.
So after
I raised all my grandkids, I came back here to Ruskin.
It's a beautiful part of Florida.
Oh,
beautiful,
God, yes.
Beautiful part of Florida. So we are so excited about about the books, but you know, we want people on our listening team here to get to know you a little bit. And you've had quite an extensive resume as a book editor, as a journalist, and now as an author. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about, because you're also a coach too, a literary or a book coach?
I work with the people that I edit for. Very often I work one-on-one. I've given classes in both nonfiction and creative fiction over at the Center for Lifelong Learning in Sun City Center. I love to work with other people. I have 5 books of my own. 3 publishers have gone out of business on me.
Oh,
2 of the books are just in limbo. So I self-published my last one, and I have 1 good publisher that's still alive. But I love to, my main thing now, I have worked with a lot of authors, and I do a lot of editing off my website. It's pennyfletcher.com, and I call it eagle eye editing, and I just love to see them succeed, and I can assist them whether they want to approach an agent or a publisher or whether they want to self-publish.
That is awesome. And we have had a slew of authors on our show in the past. Certainly over the past 13 years, we've had lots of folks that have been authors. What are some of the things that a new author, as a coach, as someone who's coaching them, someone comes to you and says that they'd like to write a book, or maybe they've already written a book. What are some of the coaching things that have been kind of prevalent with new authors these days?
The first thing that I always say is, if it's possible, write your first draft. I call it write without fear, edit without mercy. Now, they get the idea out in a free write. Just write what you can as long as you can and get the idea on paper. Don't worry about it. Don't agonize over it. We can correct the wording. We can fix the English. I can do American or British. And I learned that at Amazon, which about the British. And I always tell them, get it down. Give me something to work with. And then we can do a developmental edit or a line edit. And then I can work with them one by one.
So it's almost like
get it out of yourself. don't leave it in your head. If all you get is five pages and you say, I want to accomplish this, I want to teach this, or I want to tell this story, put down as many words as you can towards that.
Sort of like get out of your own way, right?
Yeah.
Like just start writing it and get out of your own way.
They agonize. Mm-hmm. Most of the authors that begin, when they begin, they agonize. They come into the class, the Write Your Heart Out class in Sun City, and they'll say, I have this idea, and I've been working on it for 10 years, and I've got it, but I just don't have it the way I want it. Well, fine. Just get the idea down on paper. Then we can work together.
Very interesting. And you brought up British English, and I also saw on your bio that you do Chicago style, and I was just enthralled with finding out what Chicago style editing is, or
Chicago
English.
Chicago style is the publisher's favorite. That is what they publish in, the big publishers. If someone is going to go for an agent or a publisher like Simon & Schuster or Macmillan or anybody that's still in business, the big three, they have to have Chicago style. It's a style of writing. It's a way that you do your sentencing and your punctuation and your spacing and different things. It's a definite style. There's a Chicago manual of style. And if you ever just want to look at it in the library to see what it is, it's there. There's a British version and an English version.
That is so cool. I learned something today.
And different spelling.
Yeah. Penny, is that today. Like having... an Oxford comma in the one place where you wouldn't necessarily do that.
Yeah.
That's a Chicago style.
Oxford comma, serial comma. Yeah, definitely. That's the type of thing, and it goes into phraseology as well, into
sure.
wording, and then of course in the Brit, you know, it's recognizing is spelled one way in the English with a Z, and another way in British with an S, and color
yeah.
with a U. Yeah, it's different, but there's two manuals for Chicago, British and English, and American.
That's amazing.
That's
and 30-plus years in publishing and as a journalist and as an editor, you've written for 5 national magazines. You've edited more than 300 books in most genres.
Good
That's
heavens.
Just amazing.
Well, it's I want to give you one that I haven't given anybody else until I wrote my last book and I put it in there.
Okay.
I learned from the bottom. I had to quit college. I've taught in the college, and I don't have a degree.
Yep.
I learned on the job. I had to quit. I had a reason. I don't, you know, usually tell it. But I was pregnant at 17, thrown out of the house, and had to go immediately to work. And I did not finish. I did not get a degree, but I worked my butt off. I worked at convenience stores. I worked in hotels and was writing on the side from the time I was 18 until I finally hit the national magazine, starting with True Story. Are you old enough to remember that?
Yeah, I do remember
yes.
True Story. Do you remember
yes.
that, Allie?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my
yes.
gosh. That's amazing.
That was like
I haven't heard. That's like a flash
house.
From the past. That's like almost bringing up Mad Magazine.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 77 in November.
Oh, God
and
love
I
you.
Have done this for, as I said, 40 years, so you can imagine that what I did before that until I got the bylines that got me a job as a full-time, 40 years ago, as a full-time reporter, and then I was even bureau editor here for Media General for Tampa Time, well, no, it was the Tampa Tribune. They sent me over to Pointer, and I went to 10 or 12 classes over there on management and writing, and that's where I got my education as I was working.
Yep. And people need to realize that, too. There is a, you know, obviously a formal education route for a lot of people, but there's also the School of Hard Knocks, which you and I, Penny, went to. I think I have a degree in the School of Hard Knocks as well. But but people say all the time that, you know, the degree certainly gets you a ticket to the dance, but your personality and your integrity and your stick with it, stick-to-itiveness, all also get you a ticket to the dance. So people that are hearing our show, I hope every week that you get encouraged by someone certainly as special as Penny Fletcher, but you want to, you know, make sure that you understand that it's always not about a degree. It's not about what you don't have. It's what you do have and what you can work with. Sounds like that's exactly what you did.
What you can learn doing under other people is, it's like a trade school. Only I learned it from journalists. I was a high school reporter, so I mean, I had that background. Mm-hmm. So when I started writing, well, I did have a knack for it. I know that. And I wrote fiction. I wrote fiction stories for True Story, which were not true. Then I went to True Confessions. Then I went to Gulf Coast Fishermen, and I started taking pictures.
Oh, there you go, Danny. That's up your alley.
At the Tampa Tribune. No, that ended me up at the, then I ended up at the Tampa Tribune as a photojournalist for, as a freelance photojournalist. So everybody just assumed that I had the paperwork to step in.
That's so cool.
Never asked.
There you go. See? And don't tell.
There you go.
Don't tell if they don't ask. That's right.
I told it in my book, this last book that I wrote, The Dirty News, Whose Money Pays for the News You Trust. And it's not biased. It's funny because I wrote that in a non-biased tone. All my opinions and editorializing are all in bold to teach people how to find those words that makes something slanted, either a person, product, political idea, or whatever.
Oh, that's wow. Fascinating.
And an education we could all use.
Yes.
Right? And learning a little bit about that. Are you still freelancing with the Observer News and the Riverview Current?
I haven't done that since my wreck in 2016. I have written two books since, and I edit. I appreciate all the editing I get. I love to work with people. I'm online. I had 23 broken bones. I was in a wheelchair for a year and a half.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I had a service dog, which I kept after I could walk again. And I had to stop doing that because I have a pretty good limp.
Well,
I work online.
God bless you for, and I'm glad that you're healing and that you're still doing the classes. That's amazing. So, you know, on the media slant, and then I want to get to your books. Obviously, we want to talk about your books a little bit. But what's the editorial that you did about the media and some of the things, some of the words and so forth? What do you think about the news these days and the media slant,
well,
especially in journalism?
I want people to, I like people to start with the ebook. Now the ebook is only $3.99 and you can get it anywhere. I always point to Amazon or my website or what that you can get the hard copy at Amazon as well. But if you want to deal with just the ebook, you can get it at Barnes & Noble or Kobo or a whole bunch of different places. Just ask for it at your favorite, you know, ebook store. But I advise people read that for one reason. I put links in for everything, starting with the FCC's fairness doctrine that the Congress established the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, in 1934. They gave them some, then the FCC was mandated to do a fairness doctrine. Okay, this told the reporters and the broadcasters, there were only 23 radio stations at that time. There was no TV. I mean, there was, but it was since 27, but it wasn't popular until the 50s. And it told people to all, the reporting had to be giving all sides. Well, that was one of the mandates of the Fairness Doctrine, and there were a lot of others. So I have links in that told about the original Fairness Doctrine, how it was made, and then there's links in the book throughout the ebook that you can click and deep dive into which court made what decision that lightened that, which court got rid of this, which justice voted for that, and it goes, it really kicks up in the 80s, and it just gets so that the first show that got an exception was actually the Today Show. There were three or four of them that were allowed to editorialize as news as recently as, I think it started around 89, but it was, there were still a lot of things that came through a decision that affected how the media was permitted to take over an entire area of geographical area. They used to be restricted, but like when Media General came in and bought Sunbelt newspapers and the Tampa Tribune and Channel 8, all of a sudden they had all the viewers in the area except for the St. Pete Times, and I admire them. You know that the Tampa Bay Times is the St. Pete Times renamed.
I do. I lived in that area. I actually went to USF, and I went to St. Pete Junior College. Yep.
They, they immediately jumped in because Pointer is behind them, and Pointer is a good source. They are, I still trust Pointer. And they jumped in so that people in Tampa wouldn't feel like they were abandoned when the Tribune and 24 Sunbelt newspapers and Channel 8 were all bought by one company that shut everything down except for Channel 8, and then they sold it to Nextdoor.
That is amazing. What a fantastic once again an educational experience, right? We're speaking to Penny Fletcher, and she was just speaking about her book. Dirty News is the name of the book. You can find that on Amazon, and I've seen links of every other place. Guru.com is a place that you can get to Penny Fletcher as well. And we are here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510 WWBC, speaking to a lovely woman. And please, after the show, make sure that you look her up, Miss Penny Fletcher. She's got such fantastic things to share. And you have a couple other books, too, as well, right? True Stories of Help from the Other Side was one.
Yeah, it's funny that a journalist would write two metaphysical books.
I was just going to say that.
I was adopted by a woman that went to a church called Unity, and I was Catholic. And there was a Catholic aunt in the family, and so I went to both. And I learned a lot of things, and I have had a lot of experiences that are written up as chapters in True Stories. These are my stories. Just True Stories of Help from the Other Side. That was published by Sunbury Press in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania in 2021. Now, I also wrote a book called Where the Wild Rose Grows back in 2003, I wrote that while my husband was dying of cancer. And it is about Cherokee spirituality. And it's about a girl that finds her family through the Cherokee spirits that have been with her whole life, and she recognized them through things like feathers at her feet, certain light patterns in the sky. It's a different type of, it's not New Age. It's definitely Native American, but it's spirituality.
How interesting. And
now, you can't get that one from anybody but me, because if you buy it on Amazon, the publisher went out of business, and Amazon has still not made me the payee. So I don't know who's getting paid for that, but I'll have about 20 of them here.
Okay.
And I sell them off my website.
And that's pennyfletcher.com?
Yes. Uh-huh. I've had that for years.
Excellent. Excellent. And tell us about, you said that you had 5 books. You have something coming up?
Actually, I do. I have a book that I have been working on since 2010, and I have rewritten it over and over. It's going to be my last one, because I've never taken time to go out and promote and talk and speak like I wanted to. I have gone and spoken for the news media that I worked for, but not as an author. And I would like to be able to go out and talk about the meaning behind all these books. And the meaning behind all the books comes down to one thing. I try to make a more equitable world. I have a soft spot for marginalized and downtrodden people. I have lived there in that world, and I have seen it from a different angle than a lot of people my age. And I have a real soft spot. Every one of my books is raising somebody up and someone doing it. Now, my new book that I have coming out is called Confidential Clientele. And I know that sounds kind of racy, but actually what it is a hotel worker helping homeless camp people that are camped in the woods behind the hotel with leftover food and different things like using the washers and things like that and keeping it from the boss. This is based on a true story.
I was just going to say, it could be a true story anywhere, USA right now.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, I was in hotel business before while I was in hotel and convenience stores. So, but I have a summary line for this book. It's, let me find it. Oh, great, that's my shopping list.
Okay, you're so funny.
There you go, it's on the other side.
Other side of the shopping list.
It's, often the worst carnage of war takes place on the home front after veterans return. Whether it takes the form of sadistic violence, like Candace's husband Drake, or years of alcoholism, like Army Medic Zach, the heart of the warrior that lives in, or the warrior that lives in the heart of the soldier, cannot be left behind on the battlefield.
And being from a county like Brevard County, and for you over in the Tampa area as well, we are right here at the Space Force Base, here. So we know that more than anything when our soldiers come back and they come back to our communities about, you know, what we need to do as a community, as a family, to welcome them back into back into civilization, if you will, or back to home, if you will. So what an amazing.
They didn't do that for Vietnam.
No, we didn't do that. Certainly didn't. And I'm sure there have been other. Korean War was probably not so nice either, because it was right around that same time. So what a wonderful story and a tribute. So once again, your website of how to find you and to be able to get all of these great books.
You can go to pennyfletcher.com, just www.pennyfletcher.com.
And one of the things our listeners should know as well is that all of the Penny Fletcher books are all different genres. She self-published a romantic suspense novel called The Sumerian Secret. She certainly has. I'm very interested in the Dirty News book, as most of us were sitting here looking at each other going, oh, yeah, we need those links. Yeah. We need those links.
I was advised that just that little cheap $3.99, you know, I gave that book away the whole month of May when it was released. I just gave it away because I had it free, and I'm going to mark it free again eventually, but I've got it down to $3.99, which is the very lowest I can go with the printer that I'm at now.
Yeah.
But I did that because I think it's valuable to go on the internet and click those links and see how these things I'm talking about came to be in sequence. Back, starting with the Fairness Doctrine and how it was eliminated and finally completely eliminated right about the time that the SEC, the security exchange that allows political donations, allows as much as you want to give. Like it happened in connection with another Supreme Court decision, the Citizens United, and where corporations could donate, you know, as much as they wanted.
Well, we're all nodding our heads, so your sales in the Dirty News book are definitely going to go up. I can feel it. And Joanne Terry, who's running for Congress, who's sitting right next to me, is certainly nodding her head as well to try and see a better way, right? Just a better way to get better information. Well, Penny Fletcher.
I've listed in the last chapter, I have actually gone and I stumped for a few news sources. There's some good ones listed. They're still out there.
Well, thank you so much for sharing the airwaves with us here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, Miss Penny Fletcher. We will make sure we get all of your information out. Thank you so much for your time this morning. But we are going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors for our station and for our show. And we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Incredible brand. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super Savings Sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jodkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jodkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jodkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jodkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jodkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, listeners, to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. My name is Ellen O'Neill, and I am sitting in today for my favorite friend, Miss Sita Begee, who is off playing grandma today with her King James grandson. We have Allie Tamber here in the studio with us.
Well, so much for me being your favorite friend.
Well, she's my 12-year friend that we've been on the show together, you know.
I'm taking no offense.
Yeah, you shouldn't. You're one of my favorite friends, too. And one of our other favorite friends is here, Miss Joanne Terry, who is running for Congress here in our great state of
Woo-hoo!
Florida.
Yes, thank you very much. And I'm sitting between these two. So we'll see.
You know that friend you should never sit next to in an important event?
Yeah.
That's me and Allie.
Yeah.
You're sitting between us.
Just don't throw food.
No, we won't.
No food here.
For sure. Well, congratulations on winning the primary.
Well,
here in Florida.
Thank you very much. Yes, it is quite a relief to be over the primary and to be successful in the primary. And what an experience. It was just fantastic. You know, as I said earlier, Donnell Dodge ran a wonderfully competitive campaign, and having the primary really shed a light on this race here in this district. And this district is Brevard County, Indian River County, and a small part of East Orange County. And we received a lot of media attention, and because of that, after the win, I've had an outpouring of support since the primary. So I think it turned out to be a really, really good good experience and a really good thing to have happened in this race.
Well, you saw so many great people because I saw your social media posts. Kudos to your campaign manager who made all of those things happen. And you got to meet a lot of great people. But I want to, for the listeners that maybe didn't catch the last show, I wanted to give you an opportunity to just kind of tell them about yourself and why you chose to run, because it's not an easy thing anymore.
No.
It really isn't. So I am a retired satellite systems engineer. So I've worked here on the Space Coast from 2004 when I moved here until I retired in 2015 for what is now L3 Harris Technologies, at the time Harris Corporation, which, you know, probably quite a few of our engineers here work at that company. And I retired in 2015, and my husband and I, we did some sailing in the Caribbean with our boat, with our 42-foot Catalina sailboat. And when I came back in 2020, I started getting very interested in politics. And I went to work for the Jim Kennedy campaign in 2020 and learned a lot about our electorate, about our issues, and how we vote. And it really felt like our district votes a lot by party lines instead of the issues. Because when we talk to each other, we have so many issues in common. So after that election, I went to work, I went and volunteered with the League of Women Voters, and I really got a little bit more in depth into all of the issues that we have here in this district. And what I really learned was that we are not being represented very well by our current representative in Congress. He's just not taking the seat at the table to even participate with our local and state government officials to come up with the solutions that we need, and that we all, regardless of political party, we all agree need to be resolved. And it really came to light for me just about a year ago, last November, when I was sitting in the Brevard County Commission meeting, and they voted to raise our utility taxes after a long debate and a long a rant about how bad our infrastructure is and how badly it needs upgrading. And literally that same time frame, it might have even been the same week, our current representative voted against the infrastructure bill in Congress, which is actually going to provide funding for, you know, valuable funding, is providing valuable funding for us. But to have him just let our local taxes increase without getting us our fair share of, you know, we pay federal taxes here too. And so we should be getting some of that money down here, especially because our development is just exploding, right? Over the past 10 years with the census, our population has exploded. Our development is exploding. And we're losing not just our green spaces and some of our natural, flooding mitigation, but our infrastructure, like our sewage infrastructure, is being overtaxed. And the businesses that are coming in aren't being levied or assessed what they should be to help expand that. And so I think it's really important that we get more active representation, that we start to turn away from these divisive culture wars and start coming together and working on the issues that we can all agree that we really need to address and that we really need to start making real progress on before it overruns us.
So is that the decision here in Brevard County that really sparked you, that gave you the ignite to decide that you were going to run? Because how amazing.
It was one of them. There were a whole slew of decisions that really went around what the county commission was doing. Mm-hmm. I have to say that. And people will say, well, you know, that's all local issues and it's all county commission, so why didn't you run for a county commission instead of running for the federal office, for our federal representative office? And I would say the biggest reason is because I think that leadership does start at the top, and that I think that the divisive culture wars that we're being focused on at the national level is keeping us from making progress at all levels, at the national level, at the state level, at the local level. And I think it really takes out leadership. We as a community need to start at the top and say no to the culture wars and yes to representing the people, and that will basically trickle down to the lower levels of government.
Yes. One of the things that I found fascinating in your bio, and then we're going to get to the election and the primaries and some of the other things that we want to talk about, but what I thought was fascinating is the fact that your husband is a Republican.
Yes.
And you are a Democrat.
Yes.
And you actually live together.
Yes.
And you talk and you share ideas, and you can actually live harmoniously together.
Wow.
So tell us a little, because what happens in the home can be magnified and can actually happen in society, but we just have to pay attention. So what are some of the things that you and your husband debate, maybe, or sit, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it might surprise you to know that there are some things my husband is more liberal on than I am, which is interesting. And you know, this kind of goes back to the identity that a lot of people put onto the political parties now. It's like this tribal identity. I'm either a Republican or I'm a Democrat, and we lose the focus on the individual issues. You know, I was actually at a tabling event recently, and someone came up to me and I said, I'm running for Congress. And they said, well, are you Democrat or Republican? I said, well, I'm a moderate Democrat. And they said, oh, I moved here to get away from Democrats. And she just turned around and walked away without even wanting to understand what I stood for, what that meant. And my husband and I talk about that a lot, too. I mean, I became a Democrat when I was 18 because I had some really bad experiences with Ronald Reagan's trickle-down economic policy. My husband became a Republican when he turned 18 because his family in North Carolina, in South Carolina, were always Republicans, and he was having bad experiences with Jimmy Carter's presidency. So it's interesting, you know, that kind of shapes your original decision on how you register when you turn 18. But now people almost use that as, you know, it's all or nothing. You're, you know, all in Republican, which in the last several years, a lot of people envision it being this extreme GOP Trumpism, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of Republicans, including my husband and many of our friends, that never thought that was right and never thought that was a good place for the Republican Party to be going. So we are very issues focused from that perspective. And so I can't honestly tell you an issue that we don't agree on at some level. You know, there's some implementation things I think that we would disagree on. But sitting here, I would say, like, for example, women's reproductive rights. I feel strongly about that. He doesn't feel strongly about that, right? That's not something that would drive him to the polls. But that doesn't mean that we don't disagree on it. He just like, well, okay, I can see both sides. And I'm like, well, I see one side. But
that's the beauty of it, too, yeah. And the beauty of maybe not compromise necessarily, but certainly perspective, sure. And initiative. And what you said, I think, is really important to people to understand that a lot of the issues that we have, Republicans, Democrats, independents, I don't care what you are, what you call yourself, but a lot of folks, nobody wants children, see children to go hungry. Nobody right. wants, everybody wants affordable housing. Everybody wants a fair wage for a day's work right. that is done.
And protect our green spaces.
But it
grow.
Really is yeah. about what you said about implementation of how we implement those things.
That's right.
And that's why you elect your favorite person to a federal event, right? So mm-hmm. any federal position that somebody can hold, that's where people kind of have a little bit more skin in the game, that they can make some changes. So tell us a little bit, what's the difference, maybe for some folks that don't know, the difference of what you can do on a federal level versus maybe a local level? Because I think there's a lot of congruency going on between what you can do at the federal level and what you can do at the local level.
I think that's absolutely true. I truly believe that governing is a team effort. It takes the local, the state, and the federal representatives and agencies coming together to bring holistic solutions to our problems that really solve the problem. You know, too often I think we are focused on the symptom that's right in front of us, right?
And then we throw money at it.
And we throw money right. at it. And we're not looking ahead, and we're not bringing together all of the resources of the entire realm of local, state, and national resources to deal with the problem in front of us, but then also look ahead and ensure that we are solving the root cause so that we're not going to come up with the same problem, you know, in another year. That's like what's happening with the Indian River Lagoon right now, right? It's a really good example of that. You know, people see over last year in the winter, the water got clear, the weather got cooler, the water got clear, and everyone's like, oh, the lagoon is like, it's all solved. It's everything's great. We don't have to worry so much about it anymore. And then, you know, a couple months later, everything warms up and the water's brown again, and people are like, well, what happened? It's like, well, we're not getting in front of the real problem.
We're chasing it.
We're continuously chasing it. And something like that especially definitely takes a holistic view of government, because there are local, state, and federal lands involved. There's multiple counties involved. And so you really have to have commitment by all levels of government to commit to the comprehensive plan to make real progress.
And we've had the Marine Resource Council on quite a few times for the radio show, and have provided the Indian River report card of all of those things that are out. So we know what it is. The other thing that always surprises me about that is just simply that the Chesapeake Bay was a perfect example of what we are now 20 years ago.
Right.
And they had a remedy.
Right.
And they figured out how to fix it. So now hopefully we're tapping into those folks that already fixed it, and we have more of a game plan. Right. Unlike Chesapeake Bay, who didn't have a game plan going in, they trial and error and tried to fix things and did a fantastic job. But now we've got a little bit of a map that we can use here as part of that. So involving all of those, what you said,
all of
those folks.
And let me give you another example. Another example would be our affordable housing crisis. That's another area that's really going to take a holistic view of government, because, you know, people talk about rent control. I mean, I grew up in suburban Los Angeles County. We depended on rent control to keep our apartments so that I could, you know, go to public school and be successful. So we're having this explosion of housing costs here. And clearly, there's not an appetite for something like rent control in our county right now. I know Orange County and some of the other counties are starting to discuss it. So what can we do? Well, there's the property insurance the state's looking at, right? But then at a federal level, there are tax incentives that we can do. We don't pay state taxes, so we don't have that lever, but we do have federal tax incentives that we can use. We have federal tax credits that can be given to people who need them, you know, to afford the housing. So that's another area where it really takes all of government, and that every level of government can participate to help to alleviate that issue here, and where our current representative, I think, is just not showing up. I was down at Indian River County several weeks ago. I was at their State of the County address, and during the question and answer session, there was a big discussion about affordable housing, and one of the small business owners said that, you know, my employees are 30 or under, and they can't find a place to live. And one guy came up, stood up and said, well, we got to figure this out ourselves, because we're not going to get any help from the feds. And I wanted to stand up and say, I'll help, you know, so hopefully after, you know, November 8th, I can help.
So, and hopefully through all of this work with the primaries, you were able to hear things that maybe you weren't able to hear from other folks, because I, again, saw you everywhere. So you hit all of the clubs, you hit all of the kind of pockets of folks, if you will. Let's just, you know, everywhere, counties, different areas.
We try to. And obviously the primary was somewhat focused on the Democratic base, because it was a Democratic primary. Mm-hmm. So now we're shifting our focus more to the swing voter base. And it's amazing the outpouring of support that we've received since the primary of people who have voted Republican or in the past, but who are looking now to say, oh, maybe this Joanne Terry, she might be a Democrat that I can vote for.
Yeah.
She's not what I've been made to believe all Democrats are on TV, you know. And in fact, I have some meet and greet scheduled in the next couple of weeks that are with people who came to us and said, you know, I really like what's on your website, and I have a group of friends. Can we all come and meet you and talk about this? And I'm like, absolutely. And so that's where we are going now, is trying to attract the people who are turned off by how extreme the GOP is going and how extreme our current representative has gone in terms of his voting record, and are looking for a moderate solution. I consider myself a District 8 Democrat, right? Not the big national Democrat that people have been so afraid of. I really believe that if we come together, we work together, and we start to talk to each other again instead of listening about each other in the media, that we're going to find that we have a lot in common. We really want to address these issues. We want to find solutions, and I'm confident that we can find compromise solutions that we can all live with.
So you are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and Joanne Terry, who is running for Congress, District 8 here in this great state of Florida. And I know, and by the way, this part of the segment is paid for by the...
Joanne Terry for Congress, yes.
Election campaign.
Political committee to elect Joanne Terry for Congress. Yes.
There you go.
Get the whole thing in there.
We'll get that out. Yeah. We got to get it out there for the folks that are listening to all these law things.
I'm sorry
right?
if I'm talking too much. I can just go on.
No, you're doing fantastic. That's what people want to hear. Yeah. They want to hear somebody that's involved. So what are some of the things that you learned about the primaries? First of all, tell us a little bit about how we voted.
Well, so it's very interesting. We did have actually a fairly decent turnout, even though it was like 28% total, I think, for the entire district. Sounds low, but that's about what we always have. Primaries are always low here. I think because of the independent, we have the closed primaries, so independents don't realize that they can vote for at least, school boards and judges and whatnot, but since they can't vote for the big popular campaigns, they tend to stay home. But here in Brevard County, we actually had a little over 35% of our Democrats come out and 31% of our Republicans come out. And I don't remember seeing a time when there were a higher percentage of Republicans coming out than Democrats. And I think that shows that there's a lot of energy right now to kind of break up what's been going on, A lot of people are really concerned that our rights and liberties are being taken away from us instead of being protected by the federal government. People are really upset by the profanity in our neighborhoods and the meanness in our school boards. And I think a lot of people are just tired of that. My big campaign slogan that you see on all of my signs and bumper stickers and whatnot is "Let's be neighbors again." And that is really, really resonating because it's even when I'm out at a tabling event and I'm sitting there and I'm a Democrat, if I have somebody who's, really angry at Democrats and they come up to my table and they see "Let's be neighbors again," they can't be mad at me.
There you go.
It's like, oh, well, what's that about? Well, let's talk about it, and we can start a discussion. It's like, oh, maybe you're not so bad.
So is this part of what's shaping your campaign now for November?
Yes.
From the primary piece.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. So now it's really about attracting the swing voters, attracting the people who want to say no to the extremes and who want to just be able to have government work again. People live really, really busy lives. They want to be able to participate in the election and do their homework, vote for the people they want to vote for, and then go about their business and go about their lives and not have to pay attention every day on the news because the world might explode. And that's kind of what it's been feeling like for the past several years. And so I really want to restore that trust. I really want to restore that.
Well, it's been this cancel culture, right? That's this new buzzword, this cancel culture. So not everybody is everything, right? So I get it. I get exactly where you're going with this.
Right.
And a beautiful, beautiful way to make sure that people get out and vote too, hopefully.
Absolutely, because we've got to drive people to the polls in November.
Yeah. Joanne, I'm gonna just kind of interrupt because I want to make sure we've got a moment for this. What's impressing me today, which is the first time and so refreshing, that we've got someone that wants to work on the state level, but your conversation about connecting with the local level political people that are busy and working here too. I never hear that ever about working together, because you've got somebody that's high on their horse, goes to Congress, sits up there and said, "I am the end all and save all." We know about that. And then be able to have someone like you that wants to say, "Let's bring this back. What do you guys need? How can we work together? What is my job?"
Right. And absolutely. And that that's about bringing representation back to the people of this district, not like the national political parties. And there are things that we need to deal with on a national level. I don't mean to be diminishing that.
No.
But we need to be, but I feel strongly that we need representation of the people and how we feel about things from, in this district. And that's what I want to bring. I know people ask me, well, how do we know we're not going to just vote for you and you're going to go up there and vote for with Nancy Pelosi all the time? And it's like, well, I don't know Nancy Pelosi, and they're not funding my campaign. And so.
And you're not skeered. That's Danny's word on his fishing show.
I mean, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to lose here. I'm not auditioning for my next big political,
move. That's one of the things that I love. Yeah. I love as well is that one of the things that you said, I believe you said it on the last show as well, is that I'm not a politician. I didn't get into this to be a politician. I got into this to represent people.
Right.
And one of the things that I love about your campaign, other than just the let's be neighbors, because I think that's a brilliant way, but you're defending democracy and the right to choose. You know, it goes back to the same thing that we need to get, you know, there's some kind of border here of the right to choose of all of these issues that are going on, and we should be able to do that. And thank you for protecting those rights for us.
Well, and thank you very much. And yes, you know, I spent 27 years as a systems engineer. I brought large teams together to solve really challenging problems, and I just feel like I want to enter this this conversation because I think I can bring people together to find the solutions and to start making some real progress. I'm just sick of hearing about the stalemate, so I'm going to go do something about it.
And who better but a systems engineer to put implementation together that's been doing this their entire lives.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. So Joanne Terry, joanneterry.com is a fantastic website, by the way. We all approve. We thought it was very well written.
Thank you.
By the way, if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate to the Joanne Terry campaign, you can do that on there. You can get a simple sign to put in your yards.
Host a meet and greet, a driveway meet and greet. We did this during the primary.
In
the neighborhoods.
Isn't that perfect?
We'll bring the table. We'll even bring some lemonade and cookies, and people drive by or people come by on bicycles, and it's like, meet your local candidate.
You don't even have to clean the house first.
That's right.
And you don't have to clean the house first, right?
Exactly right. Well, we are just so enamored by all of the things that you've said, and as well, we're so thankful that you came back on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends to share the information about the primary, about where your campaign is going in November, and one more time for that vote. One more big push for the vote.
Yes, please, please, please get out and vote for Joanne Terry on November 8th, and that way we can really start being neighbors again and making some progress.
There you go. And don't forget, folks, that if you're listening, League of Women Voters is a fantastic website to find out all of the information about not only the candidates that are running for any office in November, certainly here in Brevard County, you can look up the Space Coast chapter, but also on all the bills and any referendums that are going on, which are real important because I always get confused with those double negatives, the way they write things sometimes. So actually going to the League of Women Voters website, you'll be able to say, clicking yes for this will mean this, clicking no for this will mean this, so that you get a little bit more
education.
And there's
county charter amendments this year, too. Every 6 years, Brevard County does a county charter review, and there's amendments on there. So it's a very, very important election.
Well, fantastic show. Thank you, Penny Fletcher, for calling in, that journalist and author. We'll get all of her information out about her books and all of the great things that she is doing. Also about Joanne Terry, joanneterry.com is where you'll be able to find all the information about Joanne, as well as her the issues that she's speaking on, her qualifications, and certainly be able to volunteer, once again, donate, get a yard sign, do all those things. Another fantastic edition, once again, of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Sita, we missed you. Danny, thank you so much for running the board for us. Allie, wonderful job as always.
Folks, we will see you
next week here, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WBC, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.